too much if the Lord leaves her here. She's the only one that's Travis. I don't know why I'm still here. I said, Lena, he may not have the door fixed just right on it, but when he gets it just right, he'll call you. You'll be there. Until then, you stay down here and smile, and that way I have somebody to call and talk to every once in a while. 105, and wondering why she's still here. She can outwalk or cut any of us. And she would say, well, if you're going with me, you better hurry up. I don't want no car brought up front. I'm going to walk. And she did. She's walked all her life. Let's turn down 137.
Go. We had a room full last week, and I know we got some folks traveling, and some of y'all leaving us next week. I don't know about that. It's good to be here, though. If you're visiting with us, we're happy to have you, and just invite you to join in with us as we worship God to the best of our ability. It's a good place to be. We had a good class this morning. I know everybody else did as well. It's a busy time of year. Everybody's trying to get vacations and stuff in right before school starts, which was last week and now. So I think everybody's back to school now probably, huh? Yeah? All the fun stuff. Continue to pray for our teachers and our students. All right? It really is kind of a short announcements this morning. This morning we will be taking up our special offering for Brother Walter. Just a little update on Brother Walter. They've been trying to do a biopsy on this little, well, I understand it's a small little mass. He fell out of his truck and cracked some ribs, so he couldn't lay on the table long enough to get that done. Since then, the thing has changed a little bit, and last week he told me they decided just to take it out and biopsy it instead of biopsying it and then determining whether to take it out. So I don't have a date for that yet, but that's kind of where he's at. So remember him. But second time plate is passed. It's to try to help him defer some of his medical expenses. Boy, those things add up in a hurry. So I appreciate y'all, and I know he does too. Next Sunday, the 26th, is the youth fund offering, so keep that in mind. Now, also, there's a lady that's circulating a flyer, and she gave me one for all the local churches to prepare one Sunday next month. Forgive me for not knowing the date. It got crumpled. I'll get that to you, Georgia, wherever you're at. That's asking all the local churches to contribute to the Hunter Ault Fund as well. And young man, he is making some progress, but he's got a long way to go as well. So keep that in mind. I'll get that date in the bulletin before next week. I know it's asking a lot of y'all, but I know a lot of people helped us in the Ava Fund and stuff like that. So keep that in mind. Okay. I will tell you this. I don't believe you can outgive God at all. So keep that in mind. All right. Nursery attendance this morning, Georgia and Mandy. Next Sunday, Cindy and Miss Jerry.
Let's turn now to 118.
Thank you.
pray for me as I try to do one. I did this before. It's a little song. It just says, Lord, not Lord, I get it to always say that, but it says, lead me on, dear Lord. All the same.
Travis, appreciate that very much. Enjoy the special music. Choir did a great job too. I appreciate that. All right, is everybody ready for the beginning of the new year? That's coming right up. Teachers, everybody, y'all ready? Okay, I'm glad. I'm not sure I am. I'm just kidding. It's been a good week, although a busy week. Been telling y'all we were going to start these series, and we're going to get her cranked off a little bit today. And so I want you to please, I hope you've been praying for me as I lead in this. This series is entitled Love, Sex, and Marriage. And some people might be cringing right now. You know, we don't talk about that stuff in church. Shame on us, because God talks about it a lot. And we're going to go through that a little bit as we get down through here. Now we're going to start, and this is going to be the first of a series. I don't know exactly how many sermons there's going to be, a few, because God does talk a lot about it. I hope you've been praying about this, because if you think about it, and if we're honest with ourselves, the world has all three of these messed up from what God intended them to be. God does have a lot to say about the subject, and I want you to know that I'm going to do my best not to shock anybody or say anything that I shouldn't say, okay? But we can talk about things that God talks about in a calm manner, all right? So y'all pray for me. I only want to teach what God has given us as our rule and guide in these manners. And, you know, as we talk a lot of times, God has given us everything that we need to know to govern our lives and our bodies and our actions in the Word. We just have to be willing to read it, study it, and let the Spirit lead us to an understanding. And sometimes then we just have to make the decision that I'm going to do what God says no matter if it's really what I want to do or not. Maybe sometimes is not the good word, maybe most of the time, huh? Because actually that is all that matters, is what God wants. I want to be very plain. So if you don't understand something, come and ask me about it. The world, as we know it, has perverted God's plan for love, sex, and marriage. Now, what is wrong with love, sex, and marriage in our society today is that it's focused inwardly on what can I get out of it instead of what God wants me to get out of it, okay? Sex is not a dirty word. The world has made it dirty, okay? And so keep that in mind as we talk a little bit. People in our society today are more concerned with their own pleasures than they are about pleasing God. And if you don't believe that, just open your eyes and look around. Okay? Look around. And we're going to touch on a lot of different things over the next few weeks. Okay? I wanted to start with love this morning because we need to start at the basic building blocks and be able to go forward. Okay? Love is misused in our language terribly. I believe that love is an action word. It requires showing forth instead of just talking about it. If somebody can tell you they love you from now till kingdom comes, and if they never show you they love you, it don't mean nothing. Right? God gives us that great example in His Word. We're going to talk about that some this morning. But God is love, right? Don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll get down to that in a minute. Now, there's been I know there's been a lot of books written and a lot of series given by men and women that are a lot better at this than I am. But I don't think that churches need to neglect the teaching of God's Word in its entirety. Okay? So we can't just skip over the parts that we don't want to talk about. We can't just skip over the parts that might be a little uncomfortable. We take it all. It's all God's Word. Now, churches, I believe, are guilty of allowing society to teach on these matters. And if you're honest with yourself, as I try to be, who's in control of society? Well, the Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of the earth right now. So if we allow society to teach about these matters, we're getting taught the wrong stuff, okay? I don't want my children or grandchildren being taught in the public school system about love, sex, and marriage. Do you? You shouldn't, because they're not getting a godly teaching. To them, love is here today and gone tomorrow. It's just something that, you know, doesn't mean a whole lot. Sex is just for pleasure, and you know, we know that man has made it dirty, not God. Marriage is treated like a disposable institution. And we see more and more all the time that people are just living together without getting married. And oh, by the way, that's a sin, like it or not. We're going to talk some about marriage as we get on down there, and I want you to know very plainly, I'm not going to just get up here and say that God don't love gay people, but homosexual activity is also, if you're having sex outside of your marriage covenant, it is a sin, period. Amen. What the world is teaching is don't get caught, right? Instead of teaching godly principles, abstinence. Y'all know what that word means? It's not taught much or talked about much. Abstinence is the practice of not doing something that is wanted or enjoyable. Okay? So here's what I want you to know. God wants us to abstain from sexual activity until and except within a marriage relationship. Anything other than that's a sin. Now, we're going to talk about that more in another day. So, know this, though. study and study and study and all the research, and we'll talk about it as we go on down here, but outside of marriage, sex only causes problems. Y'all digest on this stuff just a little bit, you'll see them right. Causes a lot of problems. Now, here we are today to learn how to be better Christians, right? Is that not why we're here? We're here to learn to be better Christians and to learn how to worship and serve and honor God. Amen. When we pervert what God says to make it fit ourselves, we are not honoring God. And that's where the world is today. Now, we're here to honor God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and we can only do that. Are you listening? We can only worship God in spirit and in truth when we do what He tells us to, not what we want. Amen. Coach, got to go. Excuse me. Talked too much this last week. All right. Here's what I want you to get from this. We have to do what God expects us to do to honor Him. But I want you to know this more than that. When God tells us to do something or not to do something, He demands that we follow that if we're going to please Him. Now, if we don't do that, it's sin. God does forgive us of our sin when we repent. Repentance is a turning away from that sin. It's not just saying, oh, God, I'm sorry I got caught, and then doing it again tonight or tomorrow. And then saying, oh God, I'm sorry I got caught. That's not repentance, okay? Repentance is knowing you're wrong, turning from it, and then giving God the honor and the glory as you go forth. That's what repentance is. God not only expects us to do that, He demands it. Now, I word all we need to know to govern our life and our actions concerning ourselves and those around us. And I believe that when we follow God's direction to the best of our ability, that God will bless us for it. I believe that. You believe that? You will only live life to its fullest when you obey God. Now, what are you talking about, preacher? I enjoy life. Well, listen to me. Here's what I want you to know. God has put an emptiness inside of man that can only be filled with the Holy Spirit. And whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit moves in. But listen, you can confine the Spirit and not listen to the Spirit. And when you do, you will not enjoy life as much as you will if you just listen to that still small voice and read God's Word. Does talk a lot about love, sex, and marriage, and the picture given in God's Word is a close, intimate relationship, much like what we're going to experience in heaven with God. I should think about that one for a minute. Marriage is a picture. A marriage relationship is a covenant between a man and a woman, honoring God. And when we do that, it's a little small picture of the relationship that God wants us to have with Him. Close, intimate, personal relationship. All right? Love. That's where I'm headed this morning. Let's talk a little bit about it. This morning we're going to talk more as we go forward. There'll be a sermon or two, at least more than this one this morning, on love. Now, in the Greek language, there are four words of love that we will talk about starting today, and then we're going to revisit them as we go through this series, so pay attention for just a second. Now, in the English language, all four of these words are crammed into one. We call it love, and it encompasses a great big area. In the Greek language, one of the things that we as Christians, I think, could understand a little better if we understand that the Greek language has many different words scattered throughout it that talk about big subjects, but breaks it down into a more manageable, manageable may not be the right way, but it defines it better because there's different types of love. Would you agree with that? Would you? Okay. The first one that I want to talk about today is storge. That's sexual affection or obligation. It's one's natural affection for a husband, wife, or child. You know, it's that family relationship kind of love. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay? It's an abiding feeling within a person on someone or something close to him or her. That's the first thing. Now, we have that here, do we not? That family feeling that, in one big group, we are a family. Within this family, there are smaller family units, and you have this type of love feeling for your family. Okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about now. The second one is Eros, and that is exotic love. It's the love of passion, an overwhelming passion that seizes and absorbs itself into the mind. Its basic characteristic is self-satisfaction. Okay? That's another type of love. Then, these next two, I'm sure you've heard over the years, phileo love. That's a companionable love. It speaks of affection, fondness, or liking. It responds to kindness, appreciation, or love in return. Phileo is a higher kind of love than Eros love because it is our happiness, not my happiness. Get the distinction? Okay. Big problem in the world today, right? We talked about that a little bit. Is I'm more concerned about what I get out of a relationship or anything else than I am what we get out of it. So this is that kind of love. Okay? Agape love. This is the highest form of love. It is called out of one's heart by the preciousness of the object. It has the idea of prizing something. It is the noblest word for love in the Greek language. It is not based on merit or worth of an object, but denotes worth in spite of worth. Now, that may sound a little... Listen to me, and I'll try to explain that one a little bit better. It is a love that's given even when there is no worth there or someone's not good or anything like that. That's the love God gives us, okay? We're going to talk about that a little more as I go down through here. The agape love doesn't have to have worth coming back or portrayed to be bestowed upon it. That's God's love, okay? It is shown by giving. Agape love is shown by giving, okay? This love keeps on giving even when the one being loved doesn't respond in the same. What is best for the one being loved? A consuming passion for others' well-being. Now, we're going to focus on agape love this morning so that we can have this proper foundation of what true love is. Love is many things to many different people. We've kind of gone over the four most common words in the Greek language, but I want to focus on agape love, okay? John, 1 John chapter 4, if you would turn there. We'll begin in verse 7. Boy, the voice was doing good last week, and it's awful hoarse this morning. Y'all pray for me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. You there? Nobody? Amen. Okay. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Listen to me. I'm going to go on, but I want to stop there for a second. God is total and complete love toward us. We're going to talk about John 3:16 here in just a minute. That's the agape love. If you don't know love, this kind of giving love, you don't know God. Boy, that's pretty heavy, preacher. Well, it's true. The Bible says it right here. You see, he that knoweth not love, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Listen, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, propitiation is a payment. But here's what we're told in the book of 1 John, is that God loves us in spite of ourselves. Now, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay? God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. Now, the question I ask you this morning is, would you do the same thing? Especially if you knew that many of the ones that your son died for would not accept the sacrifice. That's what God did. Jesus gave himself on that cross, God's only begotten son. He was sent here to do the will of the Father, and the will was that he fulfilled the law and become the perfect, sinless, spotless sacrifice. And he died on that cross for everyone. Now, think of the worst human being that you can think of that's ever been on this earth. I think of Hitler right off the bat. You know, he was a pretty bad character, right? Stalin, he's another bad one. There's Mussolini. A lot of them, they killed randomly. They didn't love anybody but themselves. They had a very perverted way of looking at the world. They were pretty bad people, right? Jesus died for them too. Jesus died on the cross for Hitler. And all Hitler had to do to be saved was be to trust in Jesus. I don't believe he ever did that. But he could have, because Jesus died on the cross for him, you, me, all of us. That's love. God sent Jesus to die on the cross knowing that people wouldn't accept it. And he still gave it. That's agape love. That's the giving love. That's the love of God. And that's the love that you can only really understand when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Till you do, I don't think you can understand it. Okay? That's the foundation. That's the building block. That's where we're going to start. Is God loved completely without expecting much in return, if anything, because he knew he wasn't going to get anything back from a lot of people. And he still gave. Now compare the love of God that with what we're faced with today. God gave, people take. Amen? As I was preparing this sermon, I got to thinking and looking around at the condition of people today. We are a far piece away from what God intended, would you agree? Think of all the violence and hatred we're faced with today. You don't have to look far. We think of all the news coverage and stuff about the school shootings. Wanton hatred, evil. That's not God. There's nothing in God in that stuff. We see it. Know the love of God. And guess what? Society is allowing them to get by with these random acts of terror and hatred, and there is no consequences. But God will require payment someday. I believe that all this violence in the world today comes straight from Satan. And the only way to combat that is with a firm foundation in Jesus Christ. He is the building block. The only way to overcome the hate and the violence in the world today is for people that have those thoughts and tendency to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the only hope to have. Kids don't even have the basic respect of life anymore like they used to. What's going on in our world? That's not what God teaches. That's what not what God expects. Isn't that the reverse of agape love? Always taking, never giving. Agape love is always giving, even if you don't get anything in return. It's like the difference between a contract and a covenant. A contract requires something off of both parties. I'm going to do this, you're going to do that. A covenant is a binding agreement between someone that says, I'm going to do this no matter what you do, and that's what God has done for us. And that, my friend, actually should be what we do for each other. I'm going to love you no matter what you do. I'm going to do my best no matter what you do to me. Isn't that truly what God does? And we are to follow His example. Love, agape love gives even when there will be no return. People, a lot of people, won't get out of their chair to help anyone today. Period. I just don't have time. Why should I have to do that? They got themselves into this problem, and they can get themselves out. Now, that's not the way God treats people, is it? That's our society. God is love. And if we are going to be Christians, that literally means that we are to be Christ-like. And we should be the best me that I can be and be as close to like the try. And that's what God expects. God is love. That's what He expects from us. He gave His only begotten Son. What are we willing to give? Jesus said that He and His Father is one. So if Jesus and the Father are one, then Jesus also is love. Amen? Giving, caring, no holds barred, nothing expected in return kind of love. That's what God expects from us. And you'll be rewarded for it. Now, how can you say that, preacher? Many people have given their lives to Christ, okay? There are many people out there that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. That's the best and most important decision you will ever make. But saying I'm a born-again believer and giving your life to Christ is not the same thing. Well, wait a minute, preacher. That's what I'm saying. Remember, love is an action word. It don't mean you sit on the sidelines. It means you get involved. If you want to be the best you that you can be and you want to experience the love that God has and share it with other people, you have to work at it. All right. That's the love of God, the love that gives. The example given of God's love should help us and teach us how to really love others. You know, how many of us, I don't want to see your hand, you answer this question yourself. Somebody that you went to church with said something that upset you and you got mad. I'm not going to talk to them until they come apologize to me. Is that the God love? What does the Bible tell us? It tells us to forgive. It doesn't say we to wait until they come and ask for it. It says forgive. That's the God love, because that's what God did for us. Okay? Many times we get the cart before the horse, and some of this I'm going to talk to you about in the coming weeks. You'll see where I'm going with that. Now, we need to develop within ourselves, within our church, within our nation, within the world, the love that God gives. And you can only develop that love when you use it. Ever heard that old saying, if you don't use it, you'll lose it? It's true. It's very true. We need to learn to be compassionate like Jesus. I believe that you cannot love. I believe it. I tell all of my marriage counseling classes this very plainly. I believe that no matter what problems are going on in the marriage, if both parties involved, the husband and the wife, will put God first, you can work through any issue. But if you don't, you're in for a long, rocky road if you don't put God first. Oh, you know, you might have that storge love, that natural affection. You might have that eros love, that erotic type love, and and many unbelievers have them, but relationships are not built on erotic love. Now, we're going to talk about that some as we go forward. Many relationships start that way, but they won't last if that's all you've got, okay? Many unbelievers have all this stuff, okay? We will talk about that more in later detail. Now, you can lose that natural affection given the right circumstances, but if you have this philo, brotherly love, if you can learn to love like Christ, that agape love, the love that gives no matter what the circumstances are, you can build upon that rock. And as we move through this series, I want you to see that what we talk about is pure from God's Word. And when it's built upon the right foundation, it will flourish and God will bless you. If it's built on the sand, it'll fall. You remember the story of the house built on the rock and the other one built on the sand? They had something in common. The storm was coming. Not a matter of if it's coming, the storm was coming. The one that was built on the proper foundation withstood the storm. The one that was built on the shoddy foundation fell when the storm came. Marriage, relationships are built the same way. When they're built on the rock, they will flourish. When they're built on the sand, they'll wither and die. Ask yourself this morning, what kind of a relationship am I in? Have I built the proper foundation where that I can build toward the future? Do you have that foundation that you can build upon? I submit to you this morning that if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you cannot have the proper foundation to build your life upon. But Jesus loves you. He gave himself for you. All you have to do is call upon his name. He said, "Whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved." That's the love of God. That's that agape love. Maybe you're out here today and you've been saved and you have that chief cornerstone in place, but you got in a hurry maybe and you built the rest of the foundation of your house on the sand and not on the rock. Don't dig that old shoddy foundation out and build it on the rock. Nothing else will stand the storm. And the storm is coming. Don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you don't really know how to build a proper marriage. If you don't have the proper relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't really know how to have a proper sexual relationship. If you don't have your life built upon Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't really know how to show love. But you can fix it. Because Jesus has a representative here this morning, and his name is Holy Spirit. And he draws, and he convicts, and he molds, and he shows. And God gave us his word as the rule and practice of our life. And when we read the word, when we study the word, and when we listen to that still small voice, that Holy Spirit will draw you to the truth. And you can build on the rock, starting where you're at today. Many relationships today are started on emotions. They don't last. A pretty face, a kind word. Yeah, that's all well and good, you know. It's always nice to have some pretty girl hanging on your arm, right? But if that's all that's holding you together, you don't have much to build on. The Bible teaches us that we're not to be unequally yoked together. And I want you to know something. That's not talking about the color of your skin. It's talking about the saved versus the unsaved. It's not talking about ethnicity. It's talking about a spiritual connection with God. 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says it very plainly, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Did you hear that? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? You see, believers live in the light of Jesus Christ. Non-believers live in the darkness. Be ye not unequally yoked together. Guess what? If you're already married to someone that's not a believer, pray, and live the example that they can see Christ in you. Don't give you the right to give up, though. Our desire should be to please God first, self last. Yes, last. You know what happens when a married couple puts God first? It helps me get myself out of the number one position. Amen? Because we're a selfish group. If I can get myself off of that pedestal, then it's easier for me to put my wife and other people ahead of me. God first. I believe that you have to learn how to love others before you can learn how to truly love yourself. God is the example. He loved us so much that he gave the very best that he had, knowing many wouldn't accept it. Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of us. He's the rock. He's the foundation upon which love can be built. And with all, and on that foundation of godly love, then we can build relationships, marriages, as God would see fit. We got a lot to talk about in the upcoming weeks. I hope you'll pray for me. But if you're here this morning, I want you to know this. God does love completely. Amen. And no matter what you've done or where you're at in your life right now, all you have to do is accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Well, preacher, I've done that, but I'm not living the life that was pleasing to God. You can fix that too. He will forgive you if you will repent. What's repentance? Well, that's a word that churches don't like to talk about much anymore. But repentance is really knowing that God is right and I'm wrong. Okay? And I'm sorry for being wrong. And God, forgive me, and I'm going to turn my back on that wrong way, that wrong lifestyle, that wrong habit. And I'm not going back to it because I know it's wrong. God is faithful and just to forgive us when we'll do that. So no matter where you're at, God loves you. God wants you to build upon the rock. You can go back to it from wherever you're at and start building properly. Let's exhibit that agape love, that giving love that God has, that he has given us as an example. Let's move forward and have better relationships and have better marriages and have a better church. And teach our children correctly how they're supposed to act to give God the honor and the glory. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I'll ask you to stand with me, please, for a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, I'm so thankful that your word talks about the things that we need to know in this life. I thank you, God, for the example that you give us in your Son. And in your love, that you were willing to give the ultimate sacrifice for me. Lord, I know I don't deserve it. If there's any lost in here amongst us today, Lord, I pray that you would convict and that the Holy Spirit would just draw them to you, that they might get that foundation block, that Jesus Christ block that's the chief cornerstone upon which all of our lives must be built.
if we're going to withstand the storm. Lord, if there's saved here that need to dedicate their lives, maybe you're calling them, Lord, for some specific purpose. I pray that your will be done in each and every life. Lord, I pray for our church members that have no good excuse not to be here this morning. Lord, those that are sick, I pray for healing. Those that are just not here, Lord, I pray for conviction. Because I want this church to be pure, and I want this church to grow, and I want this church to be the church that you would have it to be. Your will, Lord, be done in each and every life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. 190. Jesus is in
from here, so don't miss if you want to keep up. And we're going to have them on, hopefully, they're going to be recorded so we can get them. But y'all pray for me, because I believe that the world needs to hear what I got to say, and it comes straight from God's Word. And some of you may be saying, well, I don't need to hear that, preacher. Well, you know what? Support the rest of us that do, you know. All right, any other word? All right, then, Gene, would you dismiss us, please?